Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This video is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chazdai, Pesach Vansir, Rav Meir Kahana, Bari Hoffman, Reuven Hoffman, and Yosef Ben Meir. There are three subjects that we'd like to speak about on this week's video, on this week's special message to our great JTF members. We want to speak about the holiday of Chanukah. We want to speak about proof that there is life after death, that God exists, there is life after death, and that this world that we see, this physical world that we see, is not the only thing. There is something beyond this physical world. Proof of that. That's the second subject. And the third subject, many developments on the presidential campaign, particularly in regard to Israel. Donald Trump making anti-Israel and anti-Semitic remarks that prove that he would be a catastrophe for Israel, and various other developments in the presidential campaign that are very relevant. But first, let's start off with the holiday of Chanukah. Chanukah is a holiday which commemorates the uprising of Jewish heroes known as the Maccabees. The right-wing Kahanist Maccabees were Torah-true Jews who wanted to liberate the land of Israel from Syrian Greek occupation. The Syrian Greeks were a giant empire in the Middle East, and they were occupying the land of Israel, which at that time was a small country. And the Maccabees wanted to liberate the land of Israel from this occupation and create Jewish sovereignty and a Jewish state again. And they had two big enemies, the Maccabees. The self-hating Jewish traitors who were collaborating with the foreign occupiers of Israel. So you had the self-hating Jewish traitors, the Jewish establishment traitors, and then you had the foreign occupiers themselves. The story of Chanukah is a rebellion against self-hating Jews first. The first battle was against the self-hating Jews to defeat and kill the self-hating Jews. The Maccabees killed self-hating Jews. They killed them. And they rebelled against them, and they crushed them. All the Judenrat, Kapo, ADL, UJA, Federation, AJC, conservative, reformed, reconstructionist, establishment-type Jews. The Barack Hussein Obama Jews. The Hillary Clinton Jews. All of those Jews who were supporting the enemies of their own people, who wanted to assimilate, who wanted to become part of a Syrian Greek Hellenistic culture, which was an idolatrous culture, to give up Torah Judaism and to adopt this idolatrous culture. They wanted that. They wanted to assimilate, just like the self-hating Jews of today want to assimilate. They hate Judaism. They want to give it up. They support their enemies. They support the cultures of their enemies. They want to adopt the cultures of their enemies. So you had a situation that was comparable to what happens today, to what we see today. Except in those days, you had Jewish heroes, the Maccabees, who rebelled. They killed the self-hating Jews and defeated them. They crushed them, defeated them, and killed them, and rebelled against the foreign invaders as well. And miraculously, despite being vastly outnumbered, they miraculously were able to win and reestablish a sovereign Jewish kingdom in the land of Israel. That's the story of Chanukah. So when you see all of these self-hating Jews, this is one holiday that the self-hating Jews, even the assimilated Jews, sometimes celebrate. Why? Because it comes at the same time as the Christian holiday at the end of the year comes. And so they want to have a Jewish version of that. Not because of what the holiday itself signifies for the Jewish people. And also because it's such an easy holiday. All you do is light candles and basically eat certain types of food. That's the way they celebrate the holiday of Chanukah. But the reality is, Chanukah was a rebellion against those self-hating, assimilated, intermarried Jews who betrayed their faith and betrayed their God and betrayed their land and betrayed their people. And the vast majority of Jews in that generation were self-hating, assimilated Jews. But the Maccabees succeeded in convincing many of the evil assimilated Jews who were doing that to turn from their evil ways and to become good Jews again. They convinced more and more Jews to join them as they began their battle, and the really evil ones that to the end wanted to support the enemy, the really evil Hillary Clinton, Barack Hussein Obama, deformed type UJA Jews, you know, the UJA type traitors. Those Jews, they actually killed. That was their solution. They killed them because they were traitors and they were fighting with the enemies of the Jewish people. So that's the real story of Hanukkah. A rebellion against self-hating Jewish behavior. A rebellion against assimilation and intermarriage. And anyone who does not follow the Torah Jewish faith. Any Jews who don't follow the Torah Jewish faith. A rebellion against Jews who betray their faith. That's the real story of Hanukkah. So when you see self-hating Jews celebrating Hanukkah, which is something that at least used to happen. Now the Jews are so self-hating and so assimilated, they don't even bother with that. But when I was a kid, all the assimilated self-hating Jews, they used to celebrate because it was so easy to celebrate. We should understand what they're actually celebrating. They're celebrating a very Kahanist holiday, but all the Jewish holidays are Kahanist holidays. All the heroes of the Tanakh and the Torah, they were all Kahanist type figures, fighters, proud, uncompromising, principled Jews. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David, Moses, Aaron, these were all principled, deeply loyal, faithful Jews. So the story, because all the stories of Judaism are really Kahanist stories, because the Kahanist movement reflects what true Judaism has really always stood for. So that's the first thing we wanted to bring up. And there's something else we want to bring up, the second subject. Longtime Knesset member from the extreme left, Yossi Sarid, Yemach Shmo V'Zichro Shem Reshaim Yirkav. May his name and memory be obliterated, may the name of the wicked rot. Yossi Sarid, the extreme left-wing member of the Israeli parliament, the Israeli Knesset, who was also, since the early 1960s, was actually a big media figure. He worked for Kol Yisrael and Reshet Bet and the radio. He worked for the Israeli radio, official government Israeli radio, and worked for the Bolshevik news media in Israel. And he was a real Bolshevik, a real unbelievably evil Judenrat anti-Semite, the worst scum of the earth. A militant atheist, a hater of Judaism, a hater of Zionism, a hater of the State of Israel. He proclaimed the Arab terrorist mass murderers. He said that they are freedom fighters. He said when they murder Jews, this is their war of independence, and he supports them. He agreed with the Arab terrorists that were slaughtering his people, and that wanted to eat, but eventually they would have murdered him too. But, you know, these sick Jews, you can't reason with these sick Jews. And he was fully supporting them all his life. He's 75 years old. He spent 75 years doing pure evil. All 75 of his years were devoted to evil. Baruch Hashem, he died. He just passed away, Baruch Hashem. And Baruch Hashem means thank God. Yes, we rejoice when the evil die. We're supposed to. But something very interesting happened. This guy who was such a militant atheist, such a Jewish anti-Semite, someone who hates the Torah, who hates concepts like the afterlife and eternal life and all the beautiful concepts of Torah Judaism, someone who hated this his whole life and mocked and ridiculed religious Jews his whole life, he, several years ago, was clinically dead. What happened was he was traveling with his family in the car. His wife was driving the car and his kids were sitting in the back. And he's driving the car and all of a sudden he just passes out and seemingly dies. He was clinically dead. He was clinically dead for a while in the car until they drove him quickly to the hospital and the doctors revived him. But for a time there, they thought he was dead. And he says, this is this militant atheist says, that this is what happened to him. All of a sudden, he felt this tremendous heat come over his body. This is a militant atheist speaking now. He felt this tremendous heat come over his body. And this drive for his soul to come out of the body. And his soul came up and lifted up out of the body. He felt his soul coming out of the body. And his soul was separated from the body and went up to the sky. And from the sky, he was looking down on the car, looking down. He was able to see the car and able to see through the car, through the roof of the car. He was able to see through, because the dead can see things that live people can't see. And he was able to see his wife was crying, and his children were crying because they thought he was dead, and they were panicking, and they're driving to the hospital. And he saw the whole scene. He saw everything and recounted all of this. We did a Hebrew video with an interview of him where he's recounting all of this, and he's saying, you know, I don't believe in God, and I don't believe in the afterlife. I don't believe in any of this. So I was as surprised as anybody when this happened. But this really happened to me. He said, this really happened to me, and I have no idea why. I have no explanation for it, but it really happened. It is real. And I know it is as real as anything I've ever, as whatever, anything else that has ever happened to me. This is what he says in the interview. And we did, and it's in Hebrew. And we did the Hebrew video just so that Israelis would see, Israeli Jews and Hebrew-speaking Jews would see that this militant atheist, this vicious Jewish anti-Semite, he is bearing witness that this type of thing happens, that the soul does get separated from the body, and there's a difference between the soul and the body, just as Judaism says. And even that experience of the soul rising up and then looking down and seeing what's going on down on the ground while you're rising up, all of this is recounted in Judaism, in the Talmud, and in the Gemara. This is recounted. And it's recounted in explicit detail. And of course, it's something many people who have been clinically dead, huge numbers of people, you can go on the internet in every language, have experienced this. Now, some of them may have experienced certain things, you know, they may say certain things about their experience. I don't know what all of them, but this guy is credible. I mean, some of them, I think, there are some people out there that are fakes or that say things that are BS. There are people like that. But this guy wouldn't just say this because this goes against all of his beliefs. And you know, and by the way, I happen to know in my own life somebody that I know who was an atheist that this happened to, who had a heart attack, and he was clinically dead, and this happened to him too. I mean, this is something that really happens to people. And this is what happens when we die. When we die, the soul leaves the body, and this is what happens. And then eventually you go up and eventually you see relatives, and then eventually you go and you're going to be judged by God. The soul is judged by God because the soul lives on. Anyway, so he bears witness here that this happened to him. So he's really a strong witness. For him to say that, that's really a strong witness that this is true. There is a God. And there is an afterlife, and the righteous do have eternal life, and the wicked are punished and do not have eternal life and are punished. All of this is true. All of it is true. And it should just make us want to live a good life, a godly life, a God-fearing life, a Torah-true life. It should make us want to do that. Okay, and when I say a Torah-true life, the 613 commandments of the Torah, the 613 mitzvot, which are known in Hebrew as Tariag HaMitzvot, that's for the Jews. The Gentiles are not obligated to observe all of the mitzvot of the Torah. The Jews are. And even though it says 613, most of those mitzvot, actually, because the temple is not standing and because the mitzvot that apply to the priests, to the Kohanim, to the priests, and to the kings, and all types of things involving the land of Israel. Believe me, it's actually a lot less than that in your everyday life. It is not at all an impossible thing to do. And people out there who are not Torah observant, you should taking with one step at a time, not all at once, but you should start to become Torah observant. It is definitely a beautiful life. And it's a beautiful experience, and it does lead to eternal life. The Gentiles have the seven commandments of Bnei Noach, of Noah. They have seven commandments. The Gentiles don't have 613 commandments. They have They in some ways have it, in most ways I would say, have it a little bit easier. But still, the Gentiles still have an obligation to live a moral life and to work to make this a better world, just as the Jews do. The Jews have a much heavier burden on them because the Jews are being used by God as a light unto the nations, to prove to the nations that God exists. The purpose of Israel and the Jewish people is to prove to the whole world that God exists. To prove when this tiny nation, Israel, survives against all odds, it proves to all the nations of the world that there is a God. And so the Jews have that special mission in life to act as that proof. And so the Jews, because of that, the Jews have more commandments and have more, you know, in some ways you can look at it as more of a burden, or you can look at it as more rewarding. It depends how you view the commandments. I view it as more rewarding, but in any event, those are the rules. And it is certainly worthwhile for us to do what God commands us to do. So that's the second thing I wanted to bring up, just so that you'll know there is an afterlife and there is a real God. And even this this militant atheist, to show you how evil he is, even after this happened, he still said he didn't believe in God, and he still said he didn't want to accept, even though this happened to him. You know, we're taught in the Talmud that an evil person, that really evil people, even as they're facing the gates of hell, they'll refuse to turn from their evil ways. They'll continue to be evil, even as they're ready to be thrown into the gates of hell and punishment and all the other terrible things that would come. They're still insisting. You know, that's what really evil people are like. And this is an example. He's an example. Yossi Sarid, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, Shem Reshay Mirkav. He's an example of an unbelievably evil, stubborn, evil, vicious person. But that makes him such a powerful witness and makes his testimony so powerful as to the truth of the fact that there is life after death, there is eternal life, and the soul and the body are two separate entities. Okay, finally, we want to speak about, there's so many different things in the presidential campaign, I'll try to narrow it down. There was a meeting of the Republican Jewish Coalition, which is the Jewish establishment's wing in the Republican Party. And those are rich, very wealthy Jews and Jewish donors. And they're the Jewish Republican, the powerful Jewish Republicans. And all 14 Republican candidates were invited to come and speak. All of them did accept the invitation, except for the anti-Semite Rand Paul. I mean, I'm glad he didn't come. You know, who the hell wants to hear from him? He's such a Jew hater. But, you know, he really showed his full contempt. He was the only one that didn't show up. In any event, Ted Cruz spoke, and Ted Cruz was great as usual, gave a great speech, and we're going to be uploading a video with his entire speech to that group so that you'll see how good he was. But Donald Trump is the one that made the big news. Donald Trump and Ben Carson. Ben Carson, I'll do Ben Carson first, we'll discuss him first. Ben Carson, you know, has had a serious problem. He's sliding in the polls. He's losing his support because people are seeing that he doesn't know anything about foreign policy or national security or any depth on the issues. I mean, he is just dumb. He is dumb. I don't know. They say he's a brilliant neurosurgeon. I don't know how he became a neurosurgeon, because he says things that are so dumb that I really have to wonder. In any event, I mean, I don't know anything about neurosurgery. Maybe it's possible to be good in neurosurgery and be dumb in every other area. Maybe that's possible. He makes a speech, Ben Carson. He reads from the speech, reads word for word, and reads it very poorly in front of the group. And he keeps referring to Hamas, the Muslim Nazi terrorist organization, Hamas. He keeps calling them Hummus. Over and over again, he referred to Hummus. Yeah, that terrorist organization in Gaza called Hummus. Mm-hmm. And there'd be other terrorist organizations. There's another terrorist organization called Falafel. You know, I mean, it was just unbelievable. He kept referring to it as Hummus. He messed up everything. I mean, it was just such an embarrassing disaster, that speech. Just an embarrassing disaster. the hummus terrorists, the falafel terrorists. Now, my personal preference is Kentucky Fried Chicken, to tell you the truth. And, you know, I have always said that the real solution to the problem in the Middle East is good soul food. I mean, I don't know how anybody takes this guy seriously for president. As a candidate for president. For president of the United States. It's just mind-boggling. Anyway, he hurt himself, thank God. And by the way, he's a disgusting person, Ben Carson. Disgusting. He said Terry Schiavo, you know, the case of that poor woman that was starved to death, that horrible thing that they did in Florida where they starved that woman to death years ago. He said that was much ado about nothing. He agrees with starving to death that poor woman, Terry Schiavo, if those of you are familiar with the Terry Schiavo case. And he's, you know, and he's made other statements lately that are so unbelievably disgusting and vicious. He said that the pro-life people have to tone it down because they're encouraging violence. This is what he said in the interview. He then doubled down on that and kept repeating that. You know, he's been accusing pro-life people. He pretended he was pro-life. He was never pro-life. We did a video showing that he used baby body parts just like Planned Parenthood in his research as a doctor for doing a research paper in the 1990s. So he was never pro-life. All a hoax. The whole thing's a con job. His whole story, his life story of what he supposedly did in his earlier life and how all a con job, everything a con job. Anyway, but one of the things he said, he pretended to be pro-life. Now he's, all of a sudden in the interview, he starts attacking the pro-life movement and saying that they have to tone it down because they're encouraging acts of violence and massacres and because of the attack on Planned Parenthood in Colorado. You know, the attack that took place on Planned Parenthood in Colorado. He's blaming the pro-life movement for that. He's going along with the worst leftists smearing the pro-life movement and saying that they're responsible for it. They got to tone it down. Anyway, complete phony. Complete disgrace and shame on anybody that ever considered supporting that swine. But Donald Trump says, all of a sudden Donald Trump starts doing interviews and saying, you know, I'm going to try to get peace between the Israeli and so-called Palestinian people. He doesn't say so-called. Of course, there is no Palestine. There are no Palestinians. But Trump, who is anti-Israel, is saying, I got to get peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians. And he starts talking about how he's going to get peace, but he says, I can only do it if Israel's willing to make more sacrifices. Israel's got to be willing to make more sacrifices. He sounds like John Kerry and Barack Hussein Obama and Hillary Clinton now. That's what they say. And then he blames Israel for the conflict here. He says, and you know, I'm not sure Israel wants peace. I'm not sure Israel really wants peace. Oh, Israel's the one that doesn't want peace. The Arab Muslim Nazis that have been promising to push the Jews into the sea and exterminate the Jewish people, They're the ones who want peace. The Israelis, who are fighting to defend themselves and have given up everything. I have made insane concessions and have done every crazy thing under the sun to try to stop the war. They don't want peace. The Arab Muslim Nazis who want to slaughter them, they're the ones who want peace. This is what he said. He said he's not sure the Israelis want peace. He thinks that the problem is the Israelis don't want peace. This is Donald Trump saying this. And please don't tell me that his daughter converted to Judaism. She converted, quote-unquote, in order to marry this self-hating Jew that she's married to. Okay? Who's a bum. Who's scum. And his family's scum. And, you know, and then he goes and speaks before the group and he says, and I know you're not going to support me because you can't buy me. Because I don't want your money. So you're not going to support me because you only want candidates that you can control. This is what he said. No, he's saying the Jews buy candidates. The Jews only are interested in controlling candidates. I mean, all the anti-Semitic, he used every anti-Semitic stereotype in his speech. And then he was asked after that, he's asked after the speech, will you recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital? All the other candidates said yes. He was the only one who refused to say yes. He refused to say he would recognize Israel as the capital. And even these Jewish establishment wimps all these Jewish establishment zeros that were at that speech, because the Republican Jewish, the Republican Jewish coalition are a bunch of Jewish establishment vermin. And even they were booing him. I mean, he was so, and that's so anti-Israel. He's going before a Jewish group and he won't say Jerusalem is the capital of Israel? He won't even acknowledge the capital. I mean, Israel's the only country in the world that doesn't, that nations of the world refuse to acknowledge her capital. Won't even let her have her capital. And he's going along with this in front of this group. They were booing him. Even they were booing him. By the way, Ted Cruz was so good in his speech that even the Jewish establishment people that were there were cheering him. He got standing ovations. He was so good. And we're going to show you, God willing, we're going to put up the video later this week showing you his speech before the Republican Jewish Coalition. It was really, really impressive. We got to work hard to help Ted Cruz. The ultimate nightmare for us is Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump. According to the polls, right now Donald Trump is still the front runner. I mean, God forbid. Imagine Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump. I will not support Donald Trump, by the way. I will not support him. His latest remarks prove to me that he is not even a lesser of evils, even against Hillary Clinton. I will not support him. He will be just as bad as Hillary Clinton, in my opinion. He has said that he's going to work hard to get Israel to do so-called peace. And that's just as bad as Obama and Hillary. What's the difference between that and Hillary Clinton and Barack Hussein Obama? And John Kerry. It's the same thing. So we got to stop Trump, and we've got to support the one really good candidate, which is Ted Cruz. It's something we've been speaking about, and we were so right. I mean, we've been speaking about this since 2013. We've been speaking about it. Cruz was at 3% of the polls. Remember that? Remember all the, for 2.5 years now, every poll showed him at 3% in the polls. And we were loyally supporting him anyway. But we didn't have much choice. He was the only good candidate. But remember, I was always saying, oh, the odds are against him, because I didn't think he was, you know, I thought it's going to be very hard for him to win, but we still, as a matter of principle, we were supporting him and hoping that something would happen. But now, Baruch Hashem, he's catching fire. He's actually catching fire now. And he's tied now in the latest Quinnipiac poll. He's practically tied with Donald Trump in Iowa. Trump has 25%, he has 23%, it's within the margin of error. They're almost tied in Iowa. So he's moving up. Other polls show him in second place. There's another poll came out, showed him in second place in New Hampshire. Other polls have shown him in second place nationally. There are some polls that show him in third place, fourth place nationally, but he's up there. He's moving up. He's gaining momentum. He's the candidate with momentum. He's running the best campaign of all the candidates by far. Brilliant. He's just so brilliant, and his strategy is brilliant, and his campaign is brilliant. He's the best speaker, the best debater, the best. But now comes the dangerous part, because he's moving up fast now. He's gaining momentum, he's moving up fast, and it looks like he may win Iowa the way things are going, which is the very first contest. The very first contest is Iowa, the Iowa caucuses. That's the first state that votes. You win the first state, you can get momentum that can push you forward. So now they're really going to come up against him. So this is going to be a big test for him. We've got almost 2 months until the Iowa caucuses, February 1st. And you can expect that there are going to be a lot of attacks on him. And you see the attacks already starting from that establishment phony Marco Rubio and other establishment phonies like Chris Christie or Chris Crispy and Marco Rubio already are attacking him on, because he doesn't want to spy on all Americans. So they're saying, oh, you're national security. You have to be willing to spy on all Americans with the NSA. That's not going to stop terrorism. Meanwhile, they want to legalize all the illegal aliens and bring in millions of Muslim terrorists into this country. And they're talking about national security. They're saying, but we're going to spy on everybody. Their answer is, their solution is, let's bring in all the Muslims. Let's allow the Muslims to come in and flood the country and all the third world people and open up our borders. But don't worry about it. We're going to spy on all the law-abiding citizens with the NSA. We're going to spy on all your phone conversations. We're going to spy on everything you do on the internet. Ted Cruz says he doesn't favor that. He says he doesn't think we should be spying on all Americans. He proposed a bill where he said the government should have the power to spy on people who are suspicious, if they have reason. Then they should be able to, of course, but not just blanket authority that the government can spy on everybody and should spy on everybody all at once. which is what we had with the NSA. Anyway, they're starting to attack him. They're starting to smear him. So this is going to be a big test. We're going to do everything we can, of course, to back him up. And let's hope and pray that he succeeds. So we got a number of things going here. And you know, we're continuing to support the Jewish prisoners and their families. JTF provides support for the Jewish prisoners and their families. We do. JTF supports their families financially. The families of, when I say Jewish prisoners, I mean the Jews in the land of Israel who were in prison because they wanted to protect and defend the Jewish people. You know, their families are getting hurt and nobody helps them. Or, I don't know, maybe there are people in Israel that help them, but from here, I don't think anybody's helping them. I don't think so. I'm not aware of any other group. We do provide assistance, and we're proud of it. So, JTF is providing assistance to Jews who are in prison because they tried to save the Jewish people at a time when the Israeli government is allowing Arabs to run around and stab and attack Jews all over the place and not doing what has to be done, and Jews are being left defenseless. We're trying to help the families, at least, of Jews who unjustly, innocent Jews who are just unjustly accused of supposedly, there are Jews in prison under administrative detention who never committed any offense, who never broke any law because of their political views. So we provide support for their families. And not as much support as we'd like to. We'd like to provide even more. But we're providing support for their families. And the more support we get, the more, of course, that we can give. But we're providing support for their families. Plus, of course, we're trying to wake the Jews of Israel up. Constantly churning out videos and operating on the internet and trying to reach as many people as we can to bring the truth to the people of Israel. And, of course, we're trying to help Ted Cruz get elected president here in the United States. That's the main focus of our English language movement right now, to help Ted Cruz. So we've got a very, very busy agenda. Very busy agenda. We need your help. This is such a critical time. Join with us. Help us become part of this. This is a meaningful, historic movement. Become part of us. I can't promise you we're going to succeed in all the things we want to do. I can't promise you that. But I can promise you we're going to try the best we can to make this a better world and to fight for the truth. And that's, what else can anybody ask of us as human beings, as Jews? As long as we do everything the best we can, that's what we're required to do. We're required to do everything that we can do. That's why we're in this world. So let's work together as a team. You can't get a better cause than this. Let's work together as a team. Help us in four different ways you can help us. Number one, we need your prayers. Please pray for the success of what JTF is trying to do now. Pray for our Jewish, for the people unjustly imprisoned in Israel, the Jews that are unjustly being imprisoned in Israel just because of their political views, like Rabbi Kahana's grandson, Meir Ettinger, and others. Pray for those Jews, and pray for the heroic Jews in the hilltops that are trying to create new Jewish communities in the land of Israel. Pray for them. Pray for the good Jews and pray for Israel. Pray for Israel and pray that JTF succeed in waking people up. We need your prayers, please. We need your prayers. And also pray that Ted Cruz succeed, that Ted Cruz get elected president, and that we succeed in being able to convince the American people to put Ted Cruz into the White House, God willing. Let's pray for all of those things. Prayer is very important. Very, very important. God does care about our prayers. God does care about our prayers. And the second thing we need you to do, when you see us put up Hebrew and English videos, please promote those videos on YouTube, on Facebook, Twitter, wherever you can, promote those videos so as many people as possible can see them. That's the second thing. Third, our main pages. We have great new news pages, great main pages. If you speak Hebrew, Hayamin.org, Hayamin.org is our Hebrew main page. Please go to the main page, comment on it, become involved with it. We need your help. It's very important to become involved. Im atem rotzim liot pe'ilim ba'atnua shelanu, atnua shelanu be'eretz Yisrael, זאת אומרת התנועה העברית שלנו, אפשר לגשת לאתר שלנו, hayamin.org. What I just said is if you want to become active, I just said to Israelis, Hebrew-speaking people might be seeing this video, if you want to become active in our Hebrew movement, you can access that by going to hayamin.org, our Hebrew main page. That's basically what I said. And if you don't speak Hebrew, then at least get involved with the English, the great English news page that Shlomo is doing. He's doing such a fantastic, it's updated every day with great articles. You should see and go to it every single day. Fantastic article. Shlomo's doing a great job. You go there, you'll be proud of the high quality. Comment on it, be involved with it, because that boosts us with the search engines. Check that page out every day. You can check it every day. Just like if you listen to the news or do anything else every day, that's one of the things you should do. Check out our page every day and put some comments on there. Get involved with it. And tell other people about our English page, which is jtf.org. That's our main page. And finally, last but not least, of course, we need your financial support. We need your financial support. Jewish prisoners, families in Israel, Jews who are being unjustly accused because of their political views, they need your financial support. We need to be able to reach as many people as we can. It's just such a critical time for the Jewish people, for Israel, for the United States, and for Western civilization. We've got to do everything we can. And we're going to try the best we can. Look, the news on the presidential campaign front has been good lately. Ted Cruz, all of a sudden, has gone from 3% in the polls in Iowa and New Hampshire. Now he's almost tied with Donald Trump in Iowa. And he's, at least in the latest polls, and he's in second place or third place, depending on the poll, in New Hampshire. So things are looking up to a certain degree. The odds are still against him. We're not living in a world of illusions here. The odds are still against him. The establishment hates him. The media hates him. But he's moving up. And he has substantial support, especially among evangelical Christians. And it'll be a disgrace if Jewish activists and pro-Israel activists, Jewish and Gentile, if we don't join with the evangelicals to try to help Ted Cruz when he has been so good on the issue of Israel and when he offers us hope for turning the situation around. If we don't do everything we can, that would be a disgrace. So, anyway, we need your help. Checks, money orders, cash donations. It makes a difference. The stronger we are, the more people we reach, and the more people we can help, the stronger we are, the better our situation is. Checks, money orders, and cash donations sent to the post office box, of course, make a difference. God bless the great JTFers that are doing that. And for convenience sake, some people would prefer to use their credit card online. They find that more convenient. That's fine too. It makes no difference whether you do it by credit card or send it to the post office box through the regular mail. It makes no difference whatsoever. If you want to do it by credit card, you just go to our Hebrew main page, hayamin.org. And on the top, there's a button on top, donate in English. It says donate in English. You click on the donate button on the Hebrew main page, and you can very conveniently help us through PayPal. In a couple of minutes, you can very conveniently make a donation to us and help strengthen us. Together, we're going to fight as a team. We're going to try to turn the situation around. Let's hope that Ted Cruz can withstand all the attacks that are probably going to be coming his way now, God willing. Let's do everything we can to help him, because if he was elected, I really think the world would be a better place. So this is something we should be a part of. Anytime we could do anything to help make this a better world, we should be in on that. We should be a part of it. And we're going to try our best to make a difference in that area and, of course, in the land of Israel. Until next week, for the Jewish Task Force, Shalom.